Yeah. Got a baptismal certificate for you. Come on up, bud. Come on up. Yes. Come on up. Yes. Congratulations, buddy. All right. They will, Mama will be having her baby on Wednesday. She says, woo! Yeah, you know, when a female is pregnant and they're getting real close, they're like ready to be done. They're just ready to be done. She throws her hands up. Yep. So, yeah, so it's good to see babies around here. I love it. I love it very much. So, again, if I'm me and Carlin, and Phil and Savannah and Phil and Fishers and Marlowe's, we do thank you for allowing us to serve here. We thank you for letting us lead in discipleship and preaching and spiritual leadership here. We thank you because you don't have to be here. You choose to be here. And so we thank you for your support in all things. But today is our ministry day as well. And I just want to, we're going to talk about a couple of things today. But I do want to just say, hey, if you've ever volunteered at the soup kitchen, just stand up for a minute. You ever served at the soup kitchen? I want to see. If you've ever served at the soup kitchen, stand up. Wow. I like it. Stay standing for a second, okay? Just stay standing. All right. I just want to get a good visual. That's a lot. Okay, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. And there's so many people that volunteer there. I didn't even know. I saw some people's faces. I didn't even know you volunteered down there. So that was great to see. Also, if you serve in one of our women's life house or a men's life house, if you are a team leader, if you work as a staff like Deb, stand up. Yep. If you work there and house managers, Jeremy, if you can stand up, he's not standing up. We'll have to help him get up after he did his back. So these are the people. These are some of the people that work at the life house every day. Every during the week. So we appreciate you guys who are doing that too. Thank you. Some of them work till 10, 11 o'clock at night. That's their shift. They just have those evening shifts, and I appreciate that. We do have directors here. You know who they are. Don't need to go through them. Bob, Carla, and some of the others. But we have some staff. We have some board members here too on the New Life Ministries. Who are the board members? If you're a board member for the ministry, stand up, please. There you go. And Scott, and who else? Anybody else here? Okay. I know one or two are out today. So, okay, thank you guys for making decisions. Yes. And then I know when you do these things, you forget. But I also know that there were some people that went and got trained. And that's part of our ministries as our church. Maybe not be like New Life Ministries, but part of a big ministry that is actually state and nationwide. So we had some people just got training for sin relief. I know they don't like it, but if you got trained, just stand up real quick. So we have, this is new for us. So we have them too. We have Adam there. So they have training to work with disaster relief when disasters come. So I'm excited about that. Guys, thank you. Thank you, guys. So I don't think I missed anything, but if I did, Carla will remind me. She will remind me. Yes, you forgot. But I want to share today a little bit about the ministries. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 6. So there's a couple of teachings that Jesus did. Some of the teachings that Jesus did were sometimes we would think, oh, that's just, yeah, I got that down. But there's two that were really, that two of them I think are the most hardest. And to do the ministries that we do, we need to be in this. Now, I don't think we've arrived on these. I don't think we are where we need to be on those, but I think we're on the road. I think you understand that we're on the road, and we've been on the road on a couple of these, because you can't do these two teachings that Jesus has taught, and I don't think we could do the ministries that we do if we're not at least moving forward in these two hard teachings that Jesus did. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus he's the Sermon on the Mount thing. We're using Luke today and not Matthew, but we're using Luke today. But he says this. I want to read this piece to you in verse 27. He says, "But I say to you who listen." That's the key part. People who listen. Just because you're in the room and you hear people don't mean you're listening, right? This is for the people who listen. He says, "Love your enemies. Do what is good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone hits you on the cheek, offer the other also. And if anyone takes away your coat, don't hold back your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks you. And from someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. Just as you want others to do for you, do the same for them. And if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do what is good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do what is good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. And then he says this, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. Be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. So we see this challenge here about loving your enemies. Loving your enemies. Tuesday, you have the opportunity to vote. Now, there are some misconceptions about what I can say in the pulpit, what a preacher can say in the pulpit, and what he can't. I have one thing that I cannot endorse a candidate on in the pulpit. And as a church, we cannot collectively give from the church money to a candidate. But other than that, it's all game on. There's been miswords, fear to say that, oh, this, oh, that. You can't do this, you can't do that. And that's what they want people to fear in the pulpit. They want men to fear in the pulpit is not to say the truth. And so we see here that, but we're called to love our enemies. And that even means loving people on Tuesday that don't vote the way that you vote. Loving your enemies takes work. Loving your enemies takes work. But I want to share about how do you love your enemies? Well, I want to say 1 John 4:19 says this. How can we love people? Well, we love because he first loved us. That's what Scripture says. We love because he first loved us. We can't love people that don't love us back. I don't think we can do that without the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us and teaching us how to love people that don't look like us, don't act like us, don't vote like us. Yeah. But we're called to love our enemies. And I think that's what we are called to do. But loving your enemy can be difficult. But if we really break it down, sometimes it's not as hard. Because I think when we say that we're going to love our enemies, we have to accept everything that they do and love everything they do. No, we don't have to love what they do. We don't have to love the sin that they do. We don't have to love the lifestyle they're in. We don't have to love all the things that they stand for. But Jesus says we are called to love them. Love the person. Love the person. And this is the key verse here. It says, for he is gracious to the ungrateful and evil. God is even grateful for those who don't love him, who speak against him. The Bible says the sun shines on the just and the unjust. It rains on the just and the unjust. So we see here Jesus is saying that we are to love our enemies. We are to love our enemies and be different than they are, that we might win some by they see. As Jesus says, you're the light of the world, right? Then they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven, so that we would be an example on what God really wants in this world. Satan's greatest peace would be for you just to fall in line with all those who don't know Christ and just start arguing and fighting. Yes. Yes, so loving your neighbor sounds like it could be easy, but when it gets put in front of you, it can be very difficult. But we're still called to do it. I think that's what our ministries are about, loving people, not loving what they do. But we love people. We love people. And I think I don't think we're at our highest point, but I think we're on the right road of trying to learn how to love people the way Jesus wants us to love. He wants us to love people that are homosexual. He wants us to love people that are transgender. Oh boy, that makes people get upset. Listen, you don't love what they do, but you love the person. The person who sits there, the adulterous person. No, we are called to love them. We're called to love people. We're called to love Republicans. We're called to love Democrats. And listen, There is one that does more things. There is one that is socially, morally deranged and shipwrecked and is train wrecked. Now, all the things that we don't, that the Bible goes against. But they're said that they want to use scriptures like, oh, love, love, love. Yes, love, but love also. We do it in the confinements of how the Lord wants us to love. We love the person. They want you to love all what they do. We're not called to love what they do. We're called to love the Lord, and we're called to follow in the power of the Holy Spirit and love all people, all nations from all over the world. You know, right now there is a revival going on. There is some major awesome things happening in Iran right now. There is churches breaking out in Iran, and it is wrong to happen, but it's happening. So you pray for, this is why you pray for your enemies. Because God's doing a work. What does it say? It says, He is gracious to the ungrateful and those who are evil, that do evil things. So we sit there and say, those people, listen, God loves, Jesus came for those people too. Why do we think that we're better than Americans? America, we got to get this chip off our shoulder that we're better than the world. We're not. We're human beings. We are human beings created in God's image to live a life that is fruitful for Him, is for the kingdom of God, for Him to look and say, well done, good and faithful servant. But here it is. Part of that is we have to learn how to love people. Love people. Love people. All people. To love. We're supposed to love the alcoholic. Yeah. The one that uses drugs, we're supposed to love them. We're supposed to love the individuals that are on death row, in prison. Listen, there's a difference when you're in jail in the county and then you're in prison. And there's a whole other difference when you're on death row. My grandmother used to do Bible studies on death row with women in prison, on death row in Florida. It's amazing stories that she has. It's a whole other thing when you know that your end of your road is you're going to be put to death. And she said, even there, some would refuse the gospel. Even at the end of their lives, some would refuse the gospel. But she said, always said that, you know, I keep going back. I keep going back because the Lord's called me to do it. And I fell in love with those ladies. And every one of them murdered somebody. Or they murdered more than one. And she continued to love people. And love those women who are on death row. Love doesn't have a limit. We're just supposed to love. Love those who may not and are not like us. We're to love those who speak against what we believe in. We're called to love them. Abraham Lincoln was running for president. There was a man named, not Staten, but Staten. Okay, not my last name, but Staten. And he went around and he says, don't vote for that imbecile. Don't vote for that idiot, that tall, lanky, dumb. He's uneducated. He's stupid. He's dumb. Don't vote for him. He'll turn this country upside down. And he just ridiculed him over and over and over and over and over again. And he was like the loudest mouth. And all of a sudden, Abraham Lincoln became president. And in his cabinet, they asked him, who are we going to get for war? Who are we going to get for the director of war director, whatever that position is? And he says, I want Staten. What? He butchered you and tore you down. He tore you down. He says, doesn't matter. He's the best guy for the job. He's the best one for the job. And he put him on after everyone told him not to. He put him on, and then they became friends, and they began to work and began to see how things were working together. And he did a great job through the Civil War and all that. And then the Civil War was over. A few days later, Abraham Lincoln was assassinated. You know who was on the hunt for the murderer? Staten did it on it. He grabbed some individuals, and within 12 days, he got in there. He didn't send anybody else. This was a man that he respected, and I believe that he loved, and he just ran off, and he got that guy, and then they put him down. Years before, he was the one that was ridiculing him, putting him down, putting Abraham Lincoln down all the time, and the next thing you know, now he's standing up, and he's chasing the individual that actually assassinated Lincoln. So what it is, sometimes when you learn to love people, that don't love you, that won't love you back, or you learn to love people that put you down, you don't know what God can do. God can bring forth two people that did not like each other, bring them forth, and they become bonded through friendship and love. And we see that through that story there. But also, loving people can be very difficult. And I think that's one of the things that God, that's one of the hardest teachings, because it's a long life lesson to learn. Because it's hard to love people that are unlovable. It's hard to love people that don't love you back. It's hard to love people that just keep messing with you. There's family that you love, but you got to love them from a distance. And I think some of it is that we have to learn to love people from a distance. But be careful to make sure your love isn't covered with bitterness, with a false fakeness of love, but you got bitterness in your heart. You know who can tell you if that is the way that it is? It's the Holy Spirit. So keep examining yourself to find out really if you love. But the second piece here, as time is ticking for me this morning, the second piece is here, is judging. Oh boy. Judging. Judging can be a very harsh thing. Because we misunderstand the Bible. The Bible says, do not judge. But we stop there and we say we're not supposed to judge. But let's really see what the Bible has to say. Amen? So verse 37 of that same chapter 6, it says this, because I'll kind of go fast today for the sake of time. Do not judge and you will not be judged. And people stop right there. But you got to read the rest of the story. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured onto your lap. For with the measure you use it, oh my, it will be measured back to you. And he also told him the parable, and this is where we see this. Here it says, verse 41. He says, why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the splinter that is in your eye, when you yourself don't see the beam of wood in your eye? Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the splinter in your brother's eye. Wow. That's pretty big. But let me just tell you, we struggle with the thing called judging. Sometimes we judge out of emotions. Amen? We make a judgment out of emotions. Yeah. Sometimes we judge out of hatred because it's a group that we just despise what we despise what they stand for or what they speak up about. We also judge out of selfish reasons. We judge out of sin. We judge people's sin. And we look at it and we forget to look in our own self. We judge out of unforgiveness. We sometimes judge out of gossip. When somebody says something about somebody, we take it and run with it. And guess what? Well, that must be true. You make a judgment against someone else, against something or someone else, or something else because of gossip. And we find that is tough. It's hard to listen to gossip and not make judgment. So be careful that you're not listening to gossip. But also we make judgments also by just following the crowd. Just following the crowd. Person with the loudest voice in the crowd says things and everybody just follows it. And we all just follow someone else's judgment. Here it is. I don't think the scriptures are telling us not to judge, but it's telling us not to judge hypocritically. We need to make sure that we're judging right. We're making sure that, as the parable says, that we need to, as the Bible says, when we're doing communion, when the Bible says that we, before we do communion, we should examine ourselves. And when we make judgment, we need to make sure that we have the full facts. And sometimes we don't get the full facts, so we need to be careful on how we make those judgments. And here, how can you really make a good judgment? Well, I think we have to use what we first learned. We have to learn how to love. You got to make the judgments in love. You got to do it with the strength of the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us and that helps and guides us down the path. Because I'm telling you, there are people in the world right now that do not feel loved, but there's a lot of people that surely feel judged. How many of you even walked into church and wore something and thought people were going to judge you? And sometimes, I don't know, the Bible says that we are judged those inside the church. I get that. But we make judgments that doesn't really make it difference. But because we made a judgment, it just makes a mountain out of nothing. And we cause an issue in front of us. And when we have an attitude towards someone, because I'm telling you, when you walk into the church or you walk into ministry or whatever it may be, and you got an attitude and you start making judgments, your whole stuff, so you start falling apart on the inside. It's so much better to be a person that wants to be a blessing to others and learn how to love them. But also, there are moments when we do have to figure out how to judge. But it also says, do not condemn. We're not to point them. We're not to condemn them. Man, there's really only truly one judge, right? It is the Lord. We make judgments on things that we see do and happen. But we need to. We also need to confront with love. We need to bring another brother or sister with us when we talk about those things. Basically, all that's saying is there's a lot of time in examining. But he also says with this judge, it says forgive. Okay. It says forgive and you will be forgiving. A lot of times when we make judgments, we do it with an unforgiving heart. We do it with that condemning heart. And we don't forgive. Probably a lot of us in here have someone or something that we need to make sure that we have that full forgiveness. So we're forgiving people. Listen, if you say you forgive someone, don't keep bringing it up. And probably the odds are you didn't really forgive them. You just said it in words, huh? Huh? Yeah. But sometimes we do make mistakes and that person repeats it again. But we are also supposed to forgive. Yeah. We've got to keep forgiving. But also besides this part with judging and forgiving, it also says give and it will be given to you. What? It's supposed to be give and it will be given to you. So if I'm making a judgment and I don't like what they're doing, I make a judgment call, how am I supposed to give? Well, I think it goes back over here to the other verses where it says here, well, we give to everyone who asks you back here when it talks about enemies. That's why these two are so close together. And for someone who takes something of yours, don't ask for them back. You know, sometimes it also says lend, but expect nothing back. I was in a church before where they had a big financial committee. And I was a young boy on that team, teenager. And they were asking the pastor to come into town from about three or four states away. He didn't have the money to travel, but they voted on him being the pastor. But he just didn't have that money coming from a small church and going to another small church. And so the committee got together and an individual said, listen, they were asking, hey, can we pay for the travels? Can we get the U-Haul and all that? And the individual stood up and said, listen, and the individual that kind of put his hand down on the table, he said, listen, I don't think we as a church ought to do that. I think we should loan him the money. And then when he gets going, then he should pay that back. And somebody said, are you kidding me? We're calling him to be our pastor. He says, no, I'm not kidding. If my son borrows money from me, he will pay it back. And then I saw a man pull out his wallet, threw a bunch of money down on the table, and pretty much walked out. So here's what I'm getting at. And so the side back of the story is this man had money. It's the guy that was saying, I loan, you will repay it back. He was a kind of a wealthy man. And you know what the church kind of wants to do? They always want to follow the money. But I'm thankful for there were some in there that were not doing that. But they still didn't have enough. So his son, the pastor's son, ended up bringing him to the church. I don't think he was following the scripture. I don't think he was following the scripture. Do you know that Christians, we break scripture sometimes? We do. Give to everyone who asks you. And then someone who takes your things, don't ask for them back. And sometimes we don't because we judge incorrectly. And we work through all this whole thing we work through. But if we got problems in our own lives, as the parable says, if we have a beam in our own eye, how can we take out the splinter in someone else's eye? Church, all I'm saying today is we need to learn how to love more. Love better, love like Jesus. We also need to be careful. You think you're going to point a finger at somebody, just stick it in your hand for a minute. Pray about it. Most likely you're not going to put it back out. Because most of the time, the person you're making the judgment already knows that their life's a mess. They already know what they are. They already know what they're doing wrong. Most of us don't need to have somebody tell us. Sometimes it's okay to corner a brother, talk to a brother or sister and say, hey, kind of seeing some things, but you got to do it in love. You can't do it with yelling. You can't do it with that. You can't do it with putting people down. People don't respond very well when you put them down. We're not supposed to be that way. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to bless those who curse us. Yes. We're supposed to love those who don't love us back. Today is our ministry day when we share about the ministries. Folks, this church loves a lot of people that don't look like it, but now we're growing, and I love that. But we are on the path that I think that God has us for. We're loving those who are in addiction, loving them and bringing them in. We're loving those who battle addictions. We love those who cut themselves for whatever reasons. We love those who are going through divorce. We love those who've been divorced. We love those who spent time in jail or in prison. We love those that many don't. And I know this, we're going to keep loving them. As long as I'm here, I'm going to keep pushing that. We're going to keep loving people. We're going to keep loving them no matter where they are, no matter how low that they get, no matter what bad things they've done, we're still going to love them. And we're going to guide them. We're going to pray for them. Because some of us have done bad things. We just didn't get caught. Yeah. But God is merciful to the ungrateful and evil. The ministries are going to continue to serve meals to people without asking a question about who you are, what's your name, where you come from, or anything. Whatever background, we're going to keep serving meals. The doors of these ministries are going to keep opening. Stay open. You know the cool part of it is the church could never afford to do any of it. But God continues to supply it. I'm going to tell you why. Number one is because of obedience. God blesses obedience. But number two, I think we're trying to love people the way He wants us to love. I think he knows that we're not judging people. We might mess up here and there, but we as a group, we're loving, as a church, we're loving people that walk in the doors, whether it's the meal ministry, one of the houses, or coming in the doors to the church to figure out who Jesus is. We're not making those judgment calls. We just want to love people, share the gospel, disciple believers, and be all God called us to be. That's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. And God continues to build one ministry after another. And what He's got planned for across the street is amazing. I was a little bit on the fence for a while. For about a couple of years, I was on the fence with the building. I said, Lord, I just need to see something. And I think Phil shared it. Phil shared that great gift for that HVAC, which is one of the most expensive things that we have to do in there. And so I'm thankful for what God is doing. A lot of baptisms, a lot of salvations come from the ministries. A lot of testimonies come from the ministries. The church is growing by some that continue to come back. And it continues to reach out. New Life Ministries is not done. It is the ministry arm of the church. And I just ask that you continue to pray for it. Somewhere find yourself in it in a season. Serve. And when you take a break or whatever, it's okay. But find yourself getting back in the season of serving. And I will tell you this, I met some really awesome people on this journey. I met some awesome people. I'm not going to call out names, but I really met some awesome people. I love it when I see someone going through the minute from one of the life houses and you almost make a judgment call, and sometimes it happens. I don't know if they're going to make it. And then they walk across the floor here and they graduate. It's a good thing to be part of New Life Ministries, New Life Fellowship. I pray that you're blessed. I know that we're blessed by the Lord. Keep loving and watch how you judge. Father, Lord, as we come to this part of our service, I pray, Father, Lord, that our hearts are right with you. And our minds are right with you, and our heart, Lord, continues to love more and more. I pray, Father, right now that you just open our hearts. May receive and listen to what your Holy Spirit has. For it's in Christ's name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand.